AI PCs built for business with Intel Core Ultra processors and Intel vPro are optimized for hundreds of AI apps and tools to boost user productivity, collaboration, and creativity. No product can be absolutely secure. Learn more at intel.com/itheroes.
A little-known surveillance program is giving U.S. law enforcement access to data about millions of money transfers domestically and between the U.S. and more than 20 other countries.
This is a giant database that collects large amounts of transaction data, and they can sort of search through it without any kind of court intervening or supervising what they're doing.
And the latest retail sales figures add to signs that the economy is slowing. Plus, how the Sunshine State's oranges are turning into liquid gold. It's Wednesday, January 18th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. In the final month of the year, U.S. retail sales had their biggest decline of 2022. The Commerce Department reported that sales at stores, restaurants, and online fell a seasonally adjusted 1.1% in December from the prior month. Hiring and wage growth also eased in December, and existing home sales have now fallen for 10 straight months as the Federal Reserve raises interest rates to tame inflation. Speaking of the Fed, during a Wall Street Journal live Q&A with our chief economics correspondent Nick Timmerose today, St. Louis Fed President James Bullard said the central bank should keep raising interest rates until it gets above 5%.
Yes, we're coming closer, but we're not quite in the zone yet, and I think you'd probably have to get over 5% to say with a straight face that we've got the right level of the policy rate that will continue to push inflation down during 2023.
You can hear the full conversation at wsj.com/live-QA. Meanwhile, weak economic data, including those falling retail sales, stoked recession fears on Wall Street. The Dow fell more than 600 points. As we reported on the podcast this morning, Microsoft is planning layoffs. We now know the scale of the reduction. 10,000 employees, or less than 5% of the company's global workforce, will lose their jobs. In a blog post, Microsoft's CEO said the layoffs would happen before the end of March and that the company would pull back in certain parts of the company but continue to hire in key strategic areas. Last year, Microsoft underwent multiple rounds of layoffs but did not announce how many positions were cut. The company's shares slid 1.9% today and are down around 20% over the past 12 months. German officials said the country would give the green light for its sophisticated Leopard battle tanks to be shipped to Ukraine if the U.S. agrees to send American tanks as well. But according to a senior Pentagon official, the U.S. is, quote, not there yet when it comes to supplying its Abrams tanks. Supporters of Ukraine from 50 nations plan to meet in Germany on Friday to agree on more military aid for Kyiv. And China has cleared two Marvel movies to play in theaters next month. The sequels in the Black Panther and Ant-Man superhero franchises will be the first Marvel movies released in the country since 2019. The previous seven superhero movies produced by Marvel, Disney's most profitable film studio over the past decade, have not received release dates in the China market, a setback for its international box office sales. Separately, Shazam! Fury of the Gods, a superhero film from Warner Bros. Discovery's rival DC Studios, secured permission for release in China. The releases suggest China's censors may be easing up on Hollywood films. Coming up, a Wall Street Journal exclusive on a U.S. surveillance program that's raising privacy concerns. That's after the break.
Enter a revolutionary business world where AI meets power with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro. Imagine PCs that boost productivity, creativity, and collaboration with cutting-edge AI. They're gateways to innovation, engineered with powerful AI performance, hardware-based security, and AI-powered threat detection. Plus, they're built sustainably and can be managed remotely. Transform your workflow with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro today. No product can be absolutely secure. Become an IT hero at intel.com/itheroes.
Now a Wall Street Journal exclusive on a little-known surveillance program. Our team reports in an article out today that hundreds of federal, state, and local U.S. law enforcement agencies have access to more than 150 million money transfers between people in the U.S. and more than 20 countries without court oversight. That is according to internal program documents and an investigation by Oregon Senator Ron Wyden, a Democrat. He's raising concerns about the database, which is housed by the Arizona nonprofit Transaction Record Analysis Center, or TRAC, calling it, quote, an all-you-can-eat buffet of Americans' personal financial data. The database's director, Rich LaBelle, calls it an important investigative tool for law enforcement. Joining me now with more details about the program is reporter Byron Tao, who covers national security, law enforcement, and privacy for The Wall Street Journal. Hi, Byron. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Byron, let's start with the basics here. What is the TRAC program? What can you tell us about its origins and what it is?
Sure. So the TRAC program is a law enforcement surveillance program designed to capture data about money moving through money transfer companies. So the kinds of transactions that are sent through companies like Western Union or RIA, these are the kind of services that are used by people who often don't have access to banks. For example, they're the ways that a lot of Mexican migrants remit money back to family in Mexico or elsewhere in Central America. And in this case, the data that TRAC is capturing includes the full names of the sender and recipient, as well as the transaction amount. TRAC vacuums up transactions over $500 and houses them in a database that was set up by the state of Arizona, but now hundreds of law enforcement entities across the country have access to.
So we're talking about everything from the FBI to local police enforcement agencies here?
That's right. The law enforcement agencies that have access to this data run the gamut from top-tier federal law enforcement agencies like the FBI or various arms of the Department of Homeland Security, right down to small-town police departments all over the country.
Let's talk about some of the concerns here. What are you hearing from lawmakers like Oregon Senator Ron Wyden? What have they expressed regarding the use of this data?
Well, a lot of civil libertarians like Senator Wyden or the American Civil Liberties Union are criticizing this program because it's essentially a bulk collection of large amounts of transaction data. Rather than going out and investigating a specific crime or a specific criminal, this is an indiscriminate, large-scale database that's capturing lots of transaction data, according to the documents we've reviewed. It's got approximately 150 million transaction records in it, and police can query it on suspects without a warrant, without going to court. And so these kind of programs tend to raise concerns from people concerned about government overreach or civil libertarians because they say they're essentially mass surveillance programs. Typically, when law enforcement is investigating someone, they need to go before a judge or before a grand jury and show that records are relevant to an investigation. In this case, police don't need to do this. This is a giant database that collects large amounts of transaction data, and they can sort of search through it without any kind of court intervening or supervising what they're doing.
So what can you tell us about how law enforcement is using this database and whose data is being collected?
So anyone who sends a money transfer over $500 from certain jurisdictions is at risk of having their data vacuumed up into this program, according to the documents that we've reviewed. This one slideshow prepared by a TRAC investigator showed how the program's data could be used to scan for things like Middle Eastern or Arabic names in the bulk transaction records they're obtaining. The amount of data in the database varies. It depends on certain law enforcement requirements at any given time. But in general, this program's focused around the Southwest border and is focused at money transfers, largely internationally, but sometimes including purely domestic transactions.
And Byron, what do the database's defenders have to say about that, about those concerns expressed here?
Well, defenders of the database, including law enforcement officials, say that it's necessary for identifying patterns of money laundering and cracking down on criminal activity, such as drug running and human trafficking. They also say that these kind of money transfer companies don't operate like banks. There's often lesser ID requirements. There aren't know-your-customer rules that banks have to follow. And so they claim that this kind of database is necessary in order to detect all manner of criminal activity.
Can you put this TRAC program in context for us?
In general, bulk surveillance programs have drawn a lot of scrutiny from the courts, have certainly drawn a lot of scrutiny from the public. And in the aftermath of programs revealed by former NSA contractor Edward Snowden, you did see the government begin to make changes to some of those surveillance programs or even wind some of them down in response to public pressure. And so in general, you do see bulk surveillance programs or large-scale surveillance programs getting a pretty close look from lawmakers and from courts.
I've been speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Byron Tao, who covers national security, law enforcement, and privacy for the Wall Street Journal. Byron, thank you as always.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, the cost of almost everything seems to be going up. And now you can add your glass of OJ to the list. Florida oranges are typically used to make orange juice, but according to the Agriculture Department, orchards in the Sunshine State are expected to produce half as many oranges as last year. These days, juice makers are increasingly depending on oranges imported from Brazil and Mexico. Our commodities reporter David Uberti says the low yield comes down to two things.
Over the last 20 years, a disease called citrus greening has really ravaged Florida's orange crop. This is something that affects the essential arteries of a tree, prevents nutrients from getting to oranges, which essentially makes them green and fall off trees before they are ripened and usable. Secondly, over the last 12 months, Florida has experienced some really extreme weather, both a deep freeze last January, as well as two really damaging hurricanes later last year. Those, coupled with the long-term impacts of the disease, have really led to a difficult time for orange growers.
And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
Technology can make the world better. At UST, we're building a future where people everywhere are empowered to live better lives.
It's transformation you can feel.
And you don't have to do it alone.
We believe in the power of technology to transform businesses and build a better world.